Chapter 2, 5 p.m., Sunday, December 30th, 1979. It was late in the afternoon when Joe got his first ride. By New Year's Eve, he was in Atlanta. His last ride invited him to a party, and he ushered in the New Year with his head full of alcohol, just as he had every other New Year of his adolescence. The difference was that he no longer felt cool about it. Anyone could get drunk, he realized. Staying sober was the hard thing. At 1:30, the party broke up. It was an older crowd than Joe was used to, mid-20s mostly, college grads with entry-level jobs. The host offered to let Joe crash, but in his drunken state, Joe was determined to set out for Florida immediately, and could not be persuaded otherwise. Joe's ride took him down Peachtree Street, right past Crawford Long Hospital, where, coincidentally, he had been born some 17 years earlier. The driver pointed him towards the entrance to Interstate 75. Being well-lit himself, Joe found a well-lit corner to stand on. The cool air was full of the sounds of faraway celebrations, sirens, and racing engines. Occasionally, some motorized merrymakers would pass Joe's intersection and honk at him, but no one picked him up. Finally, a well-dressed man on a motorcycle stopped at a red light. The equally stylish woman riding in back called out to Joe, "Happy New Year!"
"Happy New Year to you, too. How about a ride?"
"I don't think you'd fit," the woman laughed. "Where are you going?"
"Florida."
Just then, a van smashed into the couple from behind. It wasn't going terribly fast, but the impact was enough to send the two off their bike onto the pavement in the middle of the intersection. The van continued moving, but its forward progress was hampered by the motorcycle, which was caught beneath its chassis. Joe ran to the couple. The woman had risen to her knees with obvious difficulty, while her mate was flat on his back and apparently unable to move.
"Get that son of a bitch!" the woman commanded.
Without thinking, Joe set out in pursuit. The van was trying to escape, but only one of its rear wheels was in contact with the road, and it could only manage about 10 miles per hour. Joe caught up with the van and banged on the window. The driver was a young man, not much older than Joe. Joe took hold of the side mirror and put one foot up on the narrow running board. Suddenly, part of the motorcycle collapsed under the van, allowing the other rear wheel to touch the ground. The vehicle's speed doubled, and it was all Joe could do to hold on. When the driver hung a sharp right down a narrow side street, Joe lost his grip and tumbled onto the pavement. An elderly black man on a bicycle approached him.
"You all right?"
"That's a hit-and-run driver. He plowed into this guy down the road."
"So that's what all the commotion's about. Here, get on."
The man gestured for Joe to climb on the seat of his bike, and then let gravity pull it down the side street towards the fleeing van, which had a trail of sparks streaming from the twisted, grinding metal tangled beneath it. By the time they reached the bottom of the hill, they had caught up with the van. The van took another right and drove up a hill. Joe jumped off the bike and sprinted after it at full throttle, overtaking it and resuming his position on the running board. Again, Joe banged the window, this time with the intention of breaking it. Not wanting the glass to break, the driver rolled down his window and started trying to push Joe away. For his part, Joe pulled at the driver's arm and hit him in the ear. Finally, Joe managed to reach across the steering wheel to the ignition key, which he turned off, yanked out, and threw as far as he could into the shadows. The car slowed to a halt. Joe opened the door and pulled the driver out. The car had come three-quarters of the way around the block, and the accident scene was in view, up the road to the right. An ambulance and a squad car had already arrived. The driver's demeanor suddenly changed, and he started begging Joe on his hands and knees not to tell the police he had fled the scene of the accident.
"I was just going to get help. Honest, I was," he blubbered.
The man on the bicycle pulled up, and Joe said to him, "Here, you take this guy." Joe faded back into the shadows, and from a distance he watched the old gentleman explain things to the police. Joe didn't want any part of it. After half an hour, the police, paramedics, victims, culprit, and witnesses were all gone. Only then did Joe resume his place at the intersection. Finally, he got a ride. 8 hours later, he crossed the state line into Florida. And that's the end of that chapter.